But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do the Roosterettes like to get down to this one? The Rooster.
There is no Roosterettes.
Oh, man.
Stop yourself.
Woo!
It was a thing from the past. You know what this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a modified version. The real version, the OG version, the OTC, the original Tribal Chief version.
Okay.
Of your new theme song. Because you know your new theme song.
I don't have a new theme song.
Sure you do. On this show, you do. Rapper's Delight by the Swedish Chef.
You know, I said when I did radio with you in 2025, I'd be a changed man. And I'm going to stick to that and not give you the reaction you're looking for.
Well, there's a couple more.
It's a good thing I have it already on clip, yeah, so you don't have to give the reaction. I can play it anyways.
And Matt, you know, there are a couple more attempts that I have in the old bag, right? The old bag of tricks here that I haven't even unfurled yet, right? I mean, there's just things like...
Wow.
Is one of them... Wait a second. Help me out here.
I don't know.
What was the record of our show picks?
I mean, you all sabotaged me for being ill that one weekend, I said, the hell with the show picks. I could care less.
The hell with the segment I created.
Next year.
The hell with the segment that I cried about.
Next football season, we're going to actually do a real show picks and have a punishment for the last place person.
No, we're going to have a punishment last place. Oh, yes, we are. Because you're the only one that's made bets about going flying through tables, bringing out pitchforks.
Well, because I am the YIC and the Messiah, I was told I could not go through a table. You cannot risk damaging this.
Well, no, the bigger thing is, yes, you missed 1 week because you were sick.
And then I was.
You gave your picks late, so I gave you the credit for the 8-8 in the separate chart. But then the following 2 weeks, you didn't turn your picks in either. So you were down 3 weeks, and then you failed to choose your picks last week also.
You basically failed to follow the rules.
Well, this is why I am a radio mark, because I couldn't follow the rules in high school either. I would never do my homework, and that's why I ended up on punishment. That's how I got to listen. So
119 and 151,
yeah,
by the way.
I was going to say, listen, there are some things that you can excuse, but the fact that you went straight up 44%.
A lot of those were disqualifications because I didn't submit a pick. It has nothing to do.
If you don't show up to the game, you still lose it.
I'll just say this. The picks do not accurately reflect the football acumen of this program.
Okay.
Because clearly I'm the smartest football mind on the show. It's not even close.
44%.
Not even close.
Even if you submitted your picks on time.
So what that I co-host with a former beat reporter of the team. So what that I co-host with a former Super Bowl winning tight end.
They 65 and 67%.
They both pale in comparison knowledge-wise. It's not even close.
What did you say, Matt?
65 and 67%.
The game has changed 25 times since Doc's retired. You never knew the game to begin with. I'm the most recent guy that's played on the show.
And yet you lost by 21%.
It's all you can say is those numbers. You and the analytics amigos playing swords in the basement.
Well, we just finished the game, and them be the results.
How about this?
You better watch out before I get the DOC on the horn.
Can we do that? The great thing about the DOC is he's on demand from anywhere. So, how about we do this for the postseason? Let's get a postseason picks in. Loser has to spend 8 hours. At a sports bar from the opening and then 8 hours after. The one way that you could get your time to decrease is by having a beer. Two shots gets you 30 minutes off your time. You got to spend 8 hours. if you come in last in our postseason picks.
Wait, so you want a person to just post up at, I don't know, Tom's Watch Bar, right? Where you've been doing shows, right?
If you're going to post up there, though, you have to post up there in a blouse.
I mean, see, now you're just coming up with weird crap.
It's real punishment.
I mean, so you expect us to just totally dismiss what happened in the regular season? I mean,
I'm not saying to totally ignore it.
Wait, I mean, first off, I understand you posing it, but as the loser, you have to get this ratified by all the winners that were throwing out the entire season, which, yeah, okay. I'll be honest, you could have beat the coin. The coin was exactly 50%.
Also, it's up to the coin. That's, you know.
I mean, well, but that's the thing.
This is ridiculous.
You know, like, a coin beat you. Like, think about that. Process that for a second.
Because I didn't care. Because
you didn't do the assignment for the bit that was your bit.
Do you think I cared?
Yeah, you cared.
I did?
You care about everything. You're so worried about the brand of Chris Russell, Chris DeFariso. It's all you care about.
Yeah.
It's all you care about. You and your brand.
There's one other trick that I have.
I saw what you just did. Okay, never mind.
There's one other thing that I have. It's on my desk right now. Out there. I can see it. There's one more game that I have to play, baby.
I know it's not
just like just like the Commanders.
I know it's not Grimace because I put him to sleep.
Just like the Commanders, they have one more game to play.
You know that Grimace was Pete's toy that he brought from when he was still in the studio. That was one of the last bits of Pete. Were you the one that threw Grimace and broke him?
That's very nice.
So that's how you're going to try to flip that
around.
Very
nice of you.
It's very nice to be compared to Grimace. It's very nice to be called Grimace. It's very nice to be compared. That's wow. I almost want to walk off the show. Seriously, I don't like what you just did there, and I mean that with everything in my heart. There's always something. There's always somehow something. That's
what did I wait.
Like the Navy banner doesn't exist. It's the last thing of Pete Master. Like, get the hell out of here, Matt. Kiss my ass. I can't even believe you just tried that.
Well, his mic's off now because he's deciding to tell me about what happened when he wasn't even on the show.
Maybe my headsets went out. All right, anyway. I don't know where that went wrong. We're just some light chop busting about terrible show picks. I would be willing to say that you would have finished in last place, whether you turned every single one of them in or not. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we have proof that, you know, you would have finished in last place anyway. But what? Neither way, we soldier on. All right, so here's the deal. Again, going back to something we talked about in hour number one, again, I feel like without Marshawn Lattimore, they don't have a chance. You said pass rush. Then you posted a chart from, what do you call it? From, what's the site?
Football Insights.
Or whatever. That shows, you know, and there's a lot of these analytical data, you know, from people in mommy's basements that don't actually watch football games. They just crunch numbers and everybody goes gaga over them. But they give you a perspective that is statistically data and analytically based. And a lot of times gives you the layers and gives you the foundation, if you will, to whatever argument you're going to make. And in this particular one, correct me if I'm wrong, it was about interior defensive linemen, right? And basically, we're talking about Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne. Now, we know this. Jonathan Allen did not play half the year. So there is something to be said for that. But basically, this chart, this axis, if you will, tried to point out that compared to how much money was spent, interior defensive line positional spending and pass rush win rate, how bad Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne was or were compared to other teams who spent a lot of money but got much better production. And basically, the long and the short of it, and you can, again, check it out, at @nail_BTP, is in terms of interior defensive lineman spending, they have the Commanders at roughly $48 million, I think it is, roughly, right around that. And their pass rush win rate was about seven, you know, it's hard to exactly tell on the graph, but about 7.2, 7.3%, somewhere in that range.
But the bigger thing to me is it's higher than only four teams. Jacksonville, Carolina, the Raiders, the Bengals.
Yes.
And, well, okay, excuse me, throw New England and Minnesota in there as well.
Right, right. But okay, so, but the point, the greater point would be, They spent the most.
Well, this group didn't spend the most.
But. No. Right. But they spent the most. Like the most, if I'm reading
a
the chart.
Considerable gap.
If I'm reading the chart right, the most anybody else spent was the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
At roughly $35 million. I can't exactly tell every part of the graph, but I'm just giving you an idea. The Commanders spent roughly $48 million. So there's a sizable gap there. And just like, for instance, the Seahawks, the second highest spending team for interior defensive line, had a way higher pass rush win rate, about 9%, compared to the Commanders at about 7.1, 7.2%. A significant gap, okay? In addition to the significant gap that already exists between the Commanders' spending and the next closest team. Ironically, Tampa Bay is pretty close to Seattle and has a higher pass rush win rate than Washington, and that's because Vita Vea, so on and so forth. So they're not that far off, Tampa, but they are clearly better than Washington. But what this chart points out, or tries to point out, is the Commanders spent the most money on interior defensive linemen, and they don't have the worst pass rush win rate out of interior defensive linemen, but if you compare highest paid to pass rush win rate, they are the worst. And there's very few teams, and those teams, most of those teams that are below them, have spent a significantly less amount of money, right? Is that fair?
This was the problem when they first made the deal. This chart's always going to look like that. There's no other team in the NFL that has two guys in the top 10 in terms of salary per year at interior defensive line.
But this was also always the problem with paying Daron Payne, period, right?
He should have never paid him. He should have traded him, but Ron was asleep at the wheel, so he didn't.
Like, here's the thing. They were never going to pay Daron Payne before that year. I know that for a fact.
No.
They were never going, but then they got.
You could have franchise tagged him, Chris.
Well, fair.
Like, there's so many other things they could have done instead of the stupid decision they made.
They saw ghosts when it came to Daron Payne. They didn't want.
Ghosts of who? Kirk Cousins?
No. Of Daron Payne being able to go out and get double digit sacks every year after the one breakout year. That's what they saw.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Okay, but they got suckered into that. And as you point out, it's one more terrible personnel move that Ron's regime made. Okay.
And this one actually has lasting impact because it's a salary.
Here's my concern, and this is the bigger issue. Okay, you can break out whatever charts. You look at Philadelphia on this chart. Okay, I mean, they're just out of this world.
But eventually, right? But this is the difference between a team like Philadelphia. It's why Big Game Howie is the best executive right now in pro sport, damn near pro sports. Jalen Carter going to end up being the highest paid defensive lineman in football when it's time for him to get paid. He's playing that well.
Yeah.
Maybe interior. Let me not say entire D-line.
Okay.
But he's got that type of impact. He's Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Like, he is the best. Like, Jordan Davis is his running mate.
Okay.
He also is impactful to them.
Jordan Davis is a better run stopper than he is a pass rusher.
It's the same thing with John and Daron. Daron was considered the better pass rusher. John's the better run stopper.
It's funny, when Daron got here, he was considered just a run stopper.
Well, that's because no one watched the Alabama stuff. He's got burst, think he'd get upfield.
I totally agree. I was screaming about that. Nobody would listen. Nobody cared.
But yeah, it's just bad organizational decision making. The bigger picture, why we keep bringing it up, is I back to our topic here. Obviously, I'm not an idiot. It matters if Marshawn Lattimore plays. I'm just saying the bigger, more impactful thing for me Sunday, it's not about
how the corners play on the perimeter. It's how they're helped. Whether it's edge pressure, interior pressure, I think going up against a smaller quarterback in Baker Mayfield, that the interior pressure can really be consequential for them.
And I totally agree with you.
So, like,
but
that to
I,
me,
I also don't just limit it to them.
It
like,
supersedes the cornerback position to me in terms of like level of importance for this weekend. Because Marshawn Lattimore,
would you give me this? Yes. That it's not just about John Allen and Daron Payne. Like, they need Dorrance Armstrong, and they need Dante Fowler. And by the way, Cleveland Farrell had the only sack for Washington's defense in the Tampa Week 1 matchup. I'm not even thinking about him. They need Dante Fowler and Dorrance Armstrong to get off the snap like they're capable of for 60 minutes, not to go in waves, not to be there once or twice, to be there consistently, forced, especially if we're talking about, again, the problem in week one, and I don't want to compare everything to that, but the problem in week one was not getting pressure and heat on Baker Mayfield.
So
it was
actually
closing the door and compromising the offense. That was the problem. They didn't do it well enough. They need somebody to step up and say, enough! Close the door. However you do it, close the door. Knockdowns. And, oh, by the way, here's another thing that's going to drive me crazy on Sunday. I just know what the narrative is going to be on Monday. It's going to be a late hit that fans are going to hate, and people that think football is soft is going to hate that gets called against the Commanders, and it's going to cost them on a third and long, and it's going to lead to a touchdown when it should have been a three and out or a punt or whatever. And they cannot put the rest of this defense by playing what I would consider undisciplined, or you want to call it stupid football. They're not good enough in any way, shape, or form to be giving the Buccaneers a free 15 yards because of a late hit.
Yes.
You have to have control. You have to have discipline. You have to close the back door. You have to set the edge. You have to close the damn door and do it legally without giving any, because there's been a bunch of late hits. Fowler's had a couple. There's been a bunch where Armstrong had one. You have to make sure that you are playing within the rules, the context, and not give the officials an opportunity to do this.
I agree.
To put the game in their hands.
I'll say this about the penalties.
And I know that sounds simple.
They were much better with the penalties against Dallas
Fair.
On Sunday.
Absolutely.
So for as critical as I've been about how they played this past week, I think that's huge. Pressures in week one. Washington pressured Baker Mayfield on 10 of, I don't know how many times Baker dropped back. Hold on. 10 of 30
it seemed
attempts they
being there
him.
Live, it seemed more than
they
that.
They sacked him once.
Yeah.
But
and, that was and that was Cleveland Farrell on like a third and nine where he stepped up and whatever. If they walk away with one sack, they have...
Well,
again,
here's the thing, Chris, they don't really have a chance. Here's the other thing, Chris, in terms of time to throw in week one. Baker Mayfield got the ball out the quickest out of any quarterback in the NFL that week.
See, again, that didn't feel that way because they – now, I'm not telling you that – see, what happened was a lot of times he did get rid of it quick, but then there were times, especially on third down, where they were hunting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And they were buzzing and just not able to close the door.
I botched.
Uh-huh.
It was horrible. It was 3.61 seconds.
All right.
I had the toggle flipped.
There you go.
That was Jayton's time to throw. He got the ball the quickest.
All right. So, you know, there's a lot of things here. We got to take a timeout. We got to get to our guy, Double A. Rick as well, Jonesy. Right? We already wished Jonesy a happy birthday. So
those Bones.
Oh, that was Bones.
Not Jonesy. Jeez Louise. That's confused. How you fall out of favor with people, Chris.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't even know. Can't even distinguish you guys.
I got a lot of things to remember.
I have to use the bathroom.
On the team. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is Bones' birthday, not Jonesy. No. I don't know who would have said something like that.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I've said some stupid things on the show.
No, there's no doubt about that. I can confirm that.
Well, I know you and the producer probably are just schmucking it up over the dumb things I say, huh?
I mean, Occasionally there are deliberations.
I wonder why someone would send me Angel Reese being on the cover of Vogue. Why would I care about that?
Because thank you for accusing me of losing my mind. Because all you talked about last year was how awesome Angel Reese was and how much better she was than Caitlin Clark.
Did I mention anything about how sexy she is?
No, that's probably the one thing you had not mentioned on the radio.
I wonder why, Chris. Because my head's not 10 feet up my bazooka.
Sure.
Jaden, worry about the postseason.
What does Angel Reese have to do with right now? I'm confused.
Because I'm getting flooded with text messages again from our Angel Reese insider.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. Well, I mean, do you want to go to our Angel Reese insider?
I don't even know.
Thank you. Jayden, best thing you've said today.
Jaden, you got a lot to worry. Supposedly, Jaden listens to the show.
I know he does.
That's what somebody said yesterday.
He does listen to the show.
Sure.
Who was that called in yesterday?
Him and Miss Jackson always listen to the show.
Wasn't that Franco?
Was it Franco? I don't know if it was. I can't remember. Oh no, it was
big Miss Jackson fan, by the way. Jaden's got a cool mom, bro. She's for all of the people out there that are gonna be ticked off that she's gonna be his agent and that their family's gonna get to keep the money that other agents pocket for doing absolutely nothing. They're gonna be winning. They're going to be winning for life, just like the kid up in Baltimore that's represented by his
mom. Yeah, he is.
People just hate it. That's the most annoying thing ever that I ever hear. There's a certain somebody that's annoyed that he's going to be represented by his mom. That certain someone didn't even want the quarterback here. So,
well, again, there are issues and there are layers to all of
what
that.
What issue has Lamar Jackson had since being represented by his mom?
Because
none.
When
got the contract, about to win his third MVP.
Hang on a second.
Y'all just don't. I don't know what it is when it comes to that conversation. Y'all really show y'all asses in terms of how ignorant y'all are.
No, because
y'all have a problem with a man getting represented by his mom.
No.
Sorry, he's trying to keep the wealth that he worked his whole life to have in his family and not piss away 10% to an agent that does nothing for you.
Okay.
He was already going to be the number two pick.
Don't factor in that there have been really, really problematic parent-athlete situations. There have been.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
just like LeVar Ball, huh?
Yeah, that's one of them. Okay.
He's a problem?
Williams was another one.
Who's Richard Williams?
With Venus and Serena. Probably a little bit before your
time. I just think it's amazing. The people that you're pointing out.
Griffin's parents have had a litany of problems.
The people that you've pointed out outside of Three Sticks have had overwhelming success.
I mean, those are three prominent examples right there. All right, let's get to, I tell you what. We got to take a timeout.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I mean, you just kept talking about Angel Reese for some unbeknownst reason of mankind. I have no idea why.
Need an Angel Reese drop.
Let's do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the Commanders on the practice field over in Ashburn as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And while we wait for the official injury report, Marshawn Lattimore and Tyler Biotis were at least expected to practice to some degree, probably limited, but we will see certainly as they get ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Vita Vea, Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, the crew, certainly going to be interesting to see. About 8:15, the kickoff Sunday night, Raymond James Stadium, where this season, at least the regular season, started for the Commanders, a 37-20 loss. Meanwhile, the NFL is monitoring the horrific wildfires in the Los Angeles area and the Palisades and everything. Pasadena, just awful, awful, awful coverage. The league saying, quote, the NFL continues to closely monitor developments in the air and will remain in contact with both clubs and the NFLPA. That's because the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams are expected to play in Hollywood at SoFi Stadium on Monday night. So that game might have to ultimately be moved. We will see what happens there. From the NBA tonight, the Wizards back in action after a disappointing home loss to a surging Rockets team. As you heard here on the Team 980, you will hear that again tonight, but in Philadelphia. Paolo Banchero coming back this week for the Orlando Magic. And over on 106.7, the Fan tonight, you get the Caps. And you get the Vancouver Canucks, 6:45, the pregame, for you right there. Also on the Odyssey app. And that is what's trending. All right, 235, Team 980. It feels like we've almost hit like a little bit of a bump in the road here, so let's try and get this thing back on track before we lose it completely on a Windbag Wednesday, right? You got Linnell Willingham. You got Matty Ice stirring the pot a little bit on the other side of the glass.
I mean, good gracious.
You got little old innocent me over here. I'm just trying to do a radio show and talk about Marshawn Lattimore. Again, they have no – I'll just say this. If Marshawn Lattimore doesn't play, they ain't winning, period. You can pass rush win me. You can light in the box me. You can Jaden Daniels Superman me. They have no shot if Marshawn Lattimore can't play. Now, that being said.
I can't believe you're saying that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They don't.
Yeah,
not
like
again.
Tampa is world beaters.
When they're on now.
Yeah, they were in a dogfight with the Saints on Sunday. And
I know.
Rattler.
And against the Raiders a couple of weeks ago. Now, the one notable thing that I'm leaving out is what I started the show with, which is, if somehow, some way, the ball bounces the right way and the Commanders can force a couple of turnovers, which is possible against Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
More than possible. Then that's the only way they can win. So I shouldn't say no chance, but I would say less than 5% chance.
Damn,
is how I look at it. Now, if Marshawn Lattimore plays, I don't think it guarantees a win by any means. But to me, it gives you a chance of keeping that Bucs number right around 30, give or take.
I don't think he exponentially changes the outcome of the game.
See, I don't see how you see that. I think you're so...
I understand.
I think
what
you're so stuck on what's important to you, and I understand
it's
why
not
you
about,
are.
It's not about necessarily what's important to me, though, Chris. They've played a lot without him and against
Tampa.
Yeah,
and they haven't been very good.
Right, but they don't need to be very good. They need to force Tampa to kick field goals, meaning don't give up explosive.
But,
what's been the number one thing in this defense?
Wouldn't you agree that there's a difference between asking Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and Jalen McMillan, and Bucky Irvin, and so on and so forth, to just settle for field goals, as opposed to Trey Lance, no CeeDee Lamb, even Atlanta with Michael Penix instead of Kirk Cousins or
Kenny Pickett,
right? Isn't there a difference?
There is
That's
a difference.
My point.
He's a different level of quarterback, but the number one and most important thing for this defense and the way that they play stylistically shows you this. They're hell-bent on not getting beat over the top.
Understood.
And if
Understood.
You're not going to beat them over the top, they're banking on other teams not being able to matriculate the ball methodically down the field, mistake-free. And I think with the lack of personnel that they have, the cupboard is bare. They do not have a lot of guys on this defense that would start on other defenses. It's a talent-deficient group, straight up. When you add that context to it, the way that they're playing is the best way that they could possibly defend.
Nobody would deny that.
It makes sense.
Nobody would deny that. But is that a one-size-fit-all philosophy is my question. Because
you determine whether it is or
not. No, you don't. Because you can say, hey, we're going to hold them to field goals, or we're going to tighten the belt in the red zone. Okay, that sounds great. Big difference doing against Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Bucky Irvin versus Rico Dowdell, Trey Lance, and Cavante Turbin. Big difference, right? So my point is, if that's your plan, if that's your philosophy, I think that can be your hope, not your plan or philosophy, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you have Marshawn Lattimore and you say, all right, listen, if we get beat by K-Dot, and if he plays, if we get beat by
Jeremy Chinn, better be able to cover.
Okay,
K-Dot.
But if we get beat by somebody other than Mike Evans, hey man, you know what? Listen, we tried to do everything we could to take away their number one weapon out and to limit that, and we got beat by somebody else who played a great game. Tip your cap to them. They have a lot of weapons, so on and so forth. Now, again, it's not going to be looked upon that way, but I'm telling you, the philosophy has to be, just like, okay, and we'll get back to the calls when we can, but this is way too important. Again, I mentioned earlier in the show, and you've been harping on this all year long, and I will give you credit. From week one, you said they're not shedding blocks, they're not in the right gaps, they're light box, they're this, they're that, they're in the wrong angles, wrong lanes, all of that.
There are 100 different things wrong
with
the run
defense. A lot of those problems are still there.
Yes.
And are there in every which way – not maybe for the entire game, but for large chunks of a game.
But I've
So my question to you is, if you have the same, if Joe Witt and Dan Quinn see it the way we see it, and everyone else, I think every Tom, Dick, and Harry sees it, okay, why would you not, again, plan your attack to deploy your personnel and your mindset differently? Why would you, like,
because it's more
why would you
for
just
them.
Sit back and hope so that you thing. Can stop the run when you know right. you can't stop the run? Why would you sit back and hope right. that you can stop them in the red zone when, quite honestly, they are very, very different than what you've been stopping in the red zone?
So here's the thing about why they're not coming out with the five-man front from the get-go. To me, they're okay, and I don't agree with it. Philosophically, I don't agree with it, but I have more of an understanding, and I'm on the same page more so with them now than I was earlier in the season, and even as recently as a month ago. They're okay with giving up the 4-yard run,
right.
the 5-yard run. They don't want to give up 10-yard runs, mm-hmm. which are deemed as explosives in the NFL.
Yeah.
This defense is all about preventing chunk plays. They want to make teams matriculate the ball down the field, and they're banking on penalties, mistakes, whatever, taking the opposing offense off schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come out in the five-man front. They may come out in the five-man front on Sunday. I don't know if it's what I would do. I don't know if it's something you need to do right away, because I'm still concerned and threatened by what they have on the perimeter. And when you play the five-man front, and you take a linebacker off the field, and if the guys don't shed the block, it's no point of playing five-man front, because you're playing with one less backer.
Right. If you're playing a five-man front, you're only playing Luvu and Wagner, obviously. Right. So that's
it
your
may
seven,
not even
but
be.
That does compromise you on the back
Here's
end.
The five-man
but if Lattimore
front
is there, then that does not. Then that should theoretically allow you. In addition, now maybe you don't play the five-man front every single
you
series, every single set.
Instead,
maybe,
yeah.
Exactly, because it should allow you to funnel Chin or Quan Martin up into the box. And if you look, right, they have been at their best controlling the run, I think, when Quan Martin or Jeremy Chin are flying up and making tackles in space on the edge and setting an edge in a different sort of way.
Yes, because but. It's tough. It's a very nuanced and layered thing because there are so many problems with the run defense.
The Commanders have, I'm just looking this up, the Commanders, according to StatMuse, have allowed the 8th most rushing attempts against this year, 490, right, in the 17 games played. They've allowed 2,337. That is, outside of Carolina, that is the most opponent, the Saints have slightly more. So the third most opponent yards allowed rushing this year, okay? So when you look at that, and I'll give you the average in a second here, 4.8 carry and 18 rushing, 4.8 rushing yards per game, third most rushing yards allowed in the game. If you're Tampa, you say, okay, listen, we understand we have a good passing game, but we're going to hit them with a lot of our inside zone, with a lot of basically what I would call, you know, I mean, it's part of inside zone where you basically block to your left, right? You slant everybody to your left and you create a backside seam or backside gap, and Bucky Irvin can hit that and explode through the line of scrimmage. The problem, you get, well, they're willing to live with 4.5 yards per, granted, but as you said earlier in the show, and I think it's a good point, you can't give up 4.5 yards or 5 yards on first down, and then again on second down,
right.
And
I think
put
that
yourself
was the problem
constantly
against,
in third and one, third and two.
That was the problem against Dallas.
The other problem that you have, and I've noticed this too as the season has gone along, and it was a problem early in the season too, sometimes they will come out and give up 8 or 9 yards on first down.
They can't do it. If you look at the second half against Atlanta, why they
virtually gave up nothing
on first down.
Yeah.
That's the most
right.
important down right. for this defense.
Right.
Because if they can get you in second and long, then you earn the right to, hey, maybe I can
put Frankie Louvois on the edge on this second down. You can't do it on second and short because you're still worried about the run. You can't do it on third and short because you're worried about the run. Louvois cannot set the edge. Dante Fowler cannot set the edge. That's not their strength.
Here's the other thing real quickly that they need to do. They cannot have any interceptions go through their hands. I mean, Louvois obviously.
Benjamin St. Juice dropped a big one in week one against Tampa.
Well, yes, but Louvois had the one in the red zone. And they got away with it because Dallas sucked.
Yes.
Because Trey Lance stinks.
100%.
Baker Mayfield is turnover prone at times, but he doesn't stink.
Do you give them credit for being in position?
I do, but you got to find a way. You cannot let opportunities go by the wayside. All right, let's get to our guy, Athan, in Annapolis here because he's been on hold for a long time. Our Angel Reese insider is AAMCO. What's up, Athan? How are you?
Athan.
I'm good. I guess, you know, he got, you know, you're about to get me on, and then he distracts from the subject because of his love for Angel Reese. That's why I sent him those things. I mean, you look at that cover, and he had just his fog and that little brain that he has to begin with. So, you know, it's I get it. I mean, there's a reason that he's called Pippi, okay? And, you know, we'll leave it at that. But, I mean, you know, it just blows my mind that Linnell wails about how much smarter he is than everybody and all this other nonsense that we listen to. And then he comes out and says they don't have to be very good on Sunday. Matt, I think you need to hit his theme music again.
Who said that? I said they don't have to be very good.
You said they don't have to be very good. They have to give up field goals. That's what you said.
I said the latter of what you said, not they don't have to be very good. I never said that.
I would challenge that. I think you need to go back and on the rewind and listen to it. But regardless, okay, they have to be the complete opposite of what they've been for the past four games. There's not going to be get-out-of-jail-free cards with Raheem Morris, time management, backup quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks that can't hit the broadside of a barn. They have stunk for the most part on defense the last few games. And, you know, I mean, Lattimore, I don't think they have any chance if he doesn't play. They have to get pressure. They have to find a way to get it done. Whatever they've done the last four or five games, it has to be different. There is no, I mean, to your point, they you know, struggled against the Raiders and some other bad teams like Carolina. Well, we need to use their methodology and do the same thing to make them struggle because we are talent deficient, but if we get behind early, it's over. We won't come back. We have too many talent voids.
I hear that. I wouldn't look at them and say they have. I just can't get on board with the no shot without Lattimore thing. I think it's too strong and too declarative of a statement. Like, I think you need to reword.
You think Mike Davis is going to cover? Mike Davis is going to cover Mike Evans?
If Mike Davis sees the field again.
Well, if you don't have Marshawn Lattimore, who the hell do you think
is going to play Benjamin St. Juice?
Because who else
the entire game?
Who else they have?
Yes, they're going to play him the entire game. I mean, he is so much better than Mike Davis.
I would agree, but Mike Davis was playing over Benjamin St. Juice some.
Yeah, because I don't know what William Gay is thinking. I really don't.
Oh, now it's William Gay's fault?
Who's the decision maker?
I don't know. Jason Simmons, a guy you held to the heavens.
There's no way you watch Benjamin St. Juice play ball and you watch Mike Davis and you think Mike Davis is better. I mean, I will die on that hill.
But you think those guys are making that decision and Dan Quinn and Joe Witt have nothing to say about it? I'm confused on your rationale. Why are you blaming William Gay?
There is a disconnect because he's the assistant defensive backs coach. There's a disconnect regardless.
When does the assistant defensive backs coach make a coaching decision like that?
William Gay, Joe Witt, Dan Quinn. I don't care who you want to blame.
Oh,
the bottom line is Mike Davis ain't better than him. Okay. He ain't even a close.
Well, that's what you should have said, not it's William not Gay's fault.
I'm going to hang on to every word that I say.
Chris,
go ahead. You understand the overarching thing. And the leader of the Roosterettes, shut up for a second. Hold on. Don't hang up on Athan yet. Don't hang up on the leader of the Roosterettes. Let me ask you this, Athan, because I think the Benjamin St. Juice thing gets completely overblown still to me. He had two pass interferences called against him on Sunday. One was complete horse crap. One was a genuine PI.
Yes.
Outside of that, how did you think he played Sunday? You think he was bad? You thought he was bad against Atlanta?
Not at all. I've said when I call in and contribute to your ratings on overtime that he's a C player, okay? He's a C player. Okay, he's going to do some good things. I gave him credit for the fumble that he caused in the Giant game that we would have lost. I gave him credit for the huge tackle he made in the Chicago game. He's an average player at best. He's better than Mike Davis.
Mike Davis shouldn't even be in the NFL.
But, but, But well, yeah, I agree with you. But again, it's to my point. This is why Chris is the varsity, and you're the JV, and hopefully you get to the big leagues one day. Okay, is because he makes the main points while you go off on these rants and say they don't have to be very good on Sunday. And you know, that's just what it is.
Yeah,
so just music, Matt. You're waiting for his dumb mute. Matt, you said you were waiting for his for him to say something dumb. Hit the music because he has hit it in full stride today.
Here's the thing. I'll leave you with this, Athan. He's the reason. He's the reason why you had to wait so long. Not me. He's the reason.
I know that. He was doing intentionally because of Angel Reese. That's okay. I'm going to hit up Angel Reese. I'm going to get her to come on the show and tell her that Linnell's cheating on her.
All right. Thank you, Double A. Appreciate you as always.
Hey, Athan.
I had to let him go. We got to hit
Athan
a break.
Athan sent me a side-by-side of Vivica A.
Go to break. I mean, listen.
He sent me something of Vivica A. Fox the other day.
Angel Reese is very, very, very talented, as long as she's not shooting the ball within 3 feet of the basket. That's just all I want to say.
Beyond, you mean.
I'm sorry. Even within. With that, she can't shoot. I mean, she's like 36%. She has no concept of it either. I saw a Twitter exchange with her over Thanksgiving weekend that somebody sent me. She's parading on about how good of a offensive player is. Honey, you shot 37% from 3 feet within.
She's a needle mover.
She needs a needle between her eyes. Shoot the basketball better. I can't believe we're talking about Angel Reese on playoff week. 251, Team 980 on the see, now you got me all flustered. All right, I'm putting up a number right now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm curious by this always, right? Statistics tell you something. They don't tell you everything. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have blitzed the third most time by percentage in the NFL, 34.2%, so roughly about one-third of the snaps. We talked about earlier Jaden Daniels having to be Superman, put on his cape, this, that, and the other thing. Here's the one thing that I will say. I know Jaden is going to have to extend and get away and get flushed and make plays with his legs and break them down that way. If they're blitzing a lot, they're playing man, their backs are turned, they're, you know, all of that. Jaden is going to have some opportunities, but Linnell, I haven't even looked at the numbers, but I just remember in week one, and again, I try not to base everything based on the past and think it's automatically going to be the same, because not. Mm-hmm. In week one, not only did the natural run game not work, but also the quick game, the quick passing attack was up and down is the way I would describe it. It wasn't good enough. They are going to have to hit a lot more to Ertz, to Eckler, to Diami, it's going to have to be a lot more efficient
I'm just not putting any stock into week one. I mean, zilch. It's the one time that I'll like say a game doesn't matter. Because it literally does not.
Normally, I'm the opposite.
Week one doesn't matter to me at all. I think Washington's evolved offensively so much since then. I think Tampa has been the same defense a lot of the year, minus attrition at a couple of different spots.
Oh, they got attrition on the back end.
Yeah, so I think you're going to get what you're going to get from Tampa. Like, Todd Bowles, they're going to try to muddy up the one thing that I think they're going to do, based off of what's being shown on tape, teams are throwing more simulated pressures at Jaden Daniels and hoping that they can get him. What you cannot do, though, Chris, he's been money against the blitz this year. Like, Jaden is, and maybe I'm... And I'll pull up the advanced metrics to prove the point. But it feels like he has been really, really, really good this year against the blitz.
He has, for the most part, because he has the ability to see it and
rip it
and run and
or
also
see it
rip,
and
it.
Rip it.
But
He made a throw to Zach Ertz on Sunday night after he threw the interception to Caden Ellis. They ran the same simulated pressure look, and he threw. And this is what's special about him. He drops his arm angle and throws the guy open.
Mm-hmm.
Literally throws Ertz open.
You're talking about the Falcons game.
The Falcons game, yes. Yep. So, like, I just think he continues to grow in every area of the game. And thinking that you're just going to sit back and send the house against him, that's not going to work.
No,
they're
going to
give up explosives.
I would agree. And Todd Bowles knows that there's a huge difference between 17 games ago, Jaden Daniels, and now. And I wonder if they blitz about one third of the time, I probably would say it's going to be less. But Jaden's going to have to force that. Jaden's going to have to make that. You know, and Jaden's going to have to see it, realize it, and you know, again, I think I don't remember him being super sharp from a passing. Like, there were just some things off, and some of that was understandable. I mean, I go back to the first play of the game. They tried a little swing to Brian Robinson in the right flat, and he threw it behind him, and it was almost a disaster. I go back to the first series of the second half. They threw a go ball to Terry McLaurin down the left sideline, and he just didn't pull the string. Like, he is going to have to hit whatever opportunities he gets.
But Chris, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to dismiss what you're saying, because I get it. You're making – that's your point, but – Week one doesn't matter at all.
Well, I disagree with that.
There's so much more rapport with the receivers.
Yeah.
The timing is better. Like,
I disagree with that. I think week one does matter. A lot has changed. I think you can have both. 3 o'clock on the Team 980. We are way late. Take a timeout right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.